I wanted to share with you this morning, too, a little bit about Belize. We just got back, a week or so ago. And people say, well, how was it? You know, well, 70% of it was fantastic. But there's always a 30%. If you're serving God and everything's going perfect, either you're deceiving yourself or you're not really serving God, because there's a battle that rages, you know. The enemy, and says in John 10:10, says the enemy has come to kill, maim, and destroy. That's what the enemy is trying to do to Irving. He wants to kill, maim, and destroy. And that's what he wants with each and every one of us. So if you're not having problems, you better check out why you're not having problems, because you're not doing something right, okay? Some of the guys, the one guy, Joe, down there is doing phenomenal. I'm so excited about what God is doing in Joe's life. And he was the guy that I'd never thought that I would get through to. And you know what? I didn't get through to him. The Holy Spirit got through to him. And he is doing really amazing. He's in church. He's encouraging others to walk with God. And he's just doing a phenomenal job and raising his family as he should. His wife had a child from a marriage that was really bad. And when I first met him, he didn't want nothing to do with that kid. And now that God has got a hold of his life, he's took the kid into his home, and he's raising them and doing a fantastic job. And he's also reaching out to his nephews and nieces that live right next door and taking them to church whenever he can and stuff like that. So Joe's doing great, but his brother's struggling because his wife is struggling. She wants to do it her way, and she's doing things that she shouldn't be doing. And he's, instead of being the man in the house, he's following. He's allowing her to drag him down, which is really, really tough because he has a lot of potential. So God is doing some great things. There's two new guys at the mission down there. The first one is Benny, isn't it? Benny. My wife's not here to prompt me and give me the answers. She's at a funeral up in Boston. You might be amazed that I got dressed this morning, but she laid it all out yesterday for me. So I'm okay, and she sent him to be my prompt person. But Benny was one of nine children that his mother didn't even bother to get a birth certificate for. She just had him and kind of abandoned him. And he's grown up hard. He's 22 years old, and he's trying to get a job now, and now he's got to figure out how to get a birth certificate. It's kind of hard to get one of those at 22 years old. But he's come there to the mission, and they're discipling him and encouraging him and teaching him how to work and teaching him how to walk with God. And it's very, very exciting to see that. The other new guy is Trevor. Trevor was 8 years old when his mother passed away, and it was very traumatic. He didn't have a father. His mother passed away, and his grandmother raised him until he was 20 years old, and she just passed away recently, and so he's kind of on his own. But the people down there have reached out to him and taken him in as well, and they got these guys going to church. They got them in the Word, and they're teaching them and training them, and that's what CMTS is mainly about. So I'm excited about what God's doing. They got more work done this time than they have ever before, which blows my mind, because it seems like when I leave, the work goes down 90%, you know. But this time they got a lot of work done, and I'm excited to see it moving forward. But on the way home, you know, I talk about the enemy and the problems that come up. They closed Atlanta Airport, And we had to circle around for quite a while until we ran out of fuel, and then a plane crashed, and no, it didn't really crash, but it almost crashed. They took us to Savannah, Georgia. And them people in Savannah, Georgia are real slow. I mean, it took them a long time to get that fuel, that plane refueled. By the time we got back to Atlanta, my plane had left, and we missed our connecting flight, and we had to sleep in the airport. Now, for you people to think I can sleep anywhere, that airport seats are not anywhere near as comfortable as these chairs are here at Pine Grove Community Church. I mean, it was a rough night and stuff, but, you know, that's just part of doing ministry. You know, if you're, like I say, if everything's just going along honky-dory, you know, you're not doing something right, so you better check it out. But, you know, Abby had called me and asked me what songs I wanted to sing, and I said, well, I don't know. I said, I'm going to leave that up to you and the Holy Spirit. And she did a fantastic job like she always does, and we don't realize how blessed we are at the worship that we have here. You know, I've been in many, many, many churches speaking and sharing and stuff like that, and I just love it here and stuff. So thank you, Abby, and that first song just fits right in with what God laid upon my heart. Because I want to read from you from Romans chapter 11, starting at verse 33. Oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you are God and that you don't need us. You don't need our counsel. You don't need, you're God and you're God alone. And I just thank you that we can love and worship and serve you. Thank you for the opportunity, and I pray that you would speak through me this morning and use me for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, it's amazing. God, the God of the universe, he created everything. And we still think that we need to counsel him. And like, no, Lord, that's, you got to do it my way. And you know, we don't need to do it his way. He is God, and he's God alone. And he knows what's best for us. He created us, he made us, and he knows what's best for us. We drop down to the next verse, which is Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, his mercy because he allows us, in view of his mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. God knows what's best for us, and he has a plan for us, and that plan is perfect. But the one thing in that statement it never said was that it's easy. God's way is perfect, it's pleasing, but it is far from easy. Because we're in the middle of the spiritual battle. And in that battle, you know, there's troubles, there's problems. And you're going to have people that come up against you. John 10:10, like I said, John 10:10 says that the enemy has come to kill, maim, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. And he may want to do it by all different kinds of methods. You know, like he might want to get you into drugs or alcohol, or he might just want to get you into a fancy house that you start worshiping instead of God. You know, there's so much temptation out there and so much garbage that sometimes it looks good. It's amazing. He's a pretty smart fella. And we're pretty dumb people sometimes. God wants what's best for us. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? And we run to the devil and try to do it his way, which we think is our way, but it's not our way. It's the devil's way. Instead of running to the God that loves us, that made us, that created us, and wants the best for us. We're stupid sometimes, you know? And he is a little slick sometimes. Sometimes he makes it look real good. Oh, this person really loves me, you know? Well, if they don't love you, if they don't honor you, if they don't respect you, if they don't want to walk with God, you need to run from those situations because it's a mess. And that's, I know so many couples that one of those couples really want to serve God and the other one don't. I believe that everybody that's considering marriage needs to go on a belief trip, okay? Where you're awake for like a week, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, you really see the true character of that person. You don't see them on a date, okay? They can put up with a good front for an hour or two, okay? But when you get down there and you've been going for 3 or 4 days and you haven't had any sleep and the tire blows out and this happens and that happens and the person that's with you stinks, you understand a whole bunch more about that person. We need to be careful. We need to allow God to choose our friends and our mates and our jobs and our lives and just trust him because he knows what's really best for us. What is the world's way? Be not conformed to this world. What is the world's way? The world's way is it's all about me. You know, when back in the 60s, I can remember back in the 60s, unfortunately, it's my life. I'll do what I want with it. That's not true, okay? It's not your life. People have been believing that for a long time. It was just in the 60s they made it a lot more vocal, and I think they're even getting worse with it today. You look back at David and Bathsheba. Oh, I'm the king, and I want her, and I'm just going to go take her because I'm the king, and I'm the big guy. And you all know what kind of a mess that turned out, and how it ruined his family, and how it ruined his life, and it just made a terrible mistake and dishonored God in the process. If he can make that mistake, we got to be careful. Because he was a real smart guy. He was a man that walked after God's own, had a man after God's own heart. And he messed up. So we got to be careful about the decisions we make and the lives we, and what we believe and how we're going. And we got to do it God's way. You say, what is God's way? Well, in John 20, 21, it says, as soon as I find it, I'll tell you what it says, because I don't want to misquote nothing, but I had these markers all set. I don't know what happened. It was Matthew. That's why. I'm in the wrong book. Okay, Matthew 20, 27, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is Jesus talking. He was the God. He's God. And he didn't come, he says, to be served. The way of the world is for them to serve us, for them to serve me. But he came to be a servant. He came to serve others and to give his life a ransom for us. And he wants us to be willing to do the same thing, to give our lives for others. Yesterday I went to a funeral for Ellie Livinghouse. Some of you know Ellie, but I didn't want to go. I don't like funerals, and Nancy wasn't there to protect me, and I felt like I had to go. So I went, and they shared a testimony about Ellie. Ellie wanted to be people's friend. She was willing to reach out and to touch the lives of others. And this one lady gave up and gave a testimony about how she had to go to Louisiana for eye surgery. And she said, without any hesitation, Ellie said, well, how about I take you to Louisiana? Now, I don't know if you people realize how far Louisiana is. How many of us are willing to go to Philadelphia to take somebody for eye surgery? But to drive all the way to Louisiana, and she said she was definitely directionally challenged. And here, she was directly challenged, and the lady had the operation. She was blind, so they were in a big fix. But you know, God used that to touch that lady's life. Are you willing to give up your time to be a servant, to be willing to do for others what they need? Jesus came to give his life for us. Are we willing to give our lives for others? There's three reasons that I know of real quick off the top of my head why we should do this. First of all, because he's God, and he said to do it. So if he said to do it, we need to be doing it, because he knows what's best for us. The second thing is, it says in John, you've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. He paid for our salvation. He's given us life. Are we willing to give that life back, to be a servant, to serve others? And the third thing is, because you're being watched. You know, I have these little books. I call them my brains, okay? Because I can't remember. It's not something new. It's been around for a long time that I can't remember. I have little brains, medium-sized brains, and a big notepad, which is my big brain, okay? And one morning, I picked it up off the kitchen table, and I looked at this thing, and it said, get Craftsman tractor going, go fishing, catch frogs, and play with Baby Bennett. And I'm like, when the heck did I write that down, okay? And then I realized it wasn't my writing. It was too neat, okay? But this was JoJo's, okay, list. He'd been watching me write things down. And he decided he needed to write things down just like Pop-Up does. You know, he watched me write that down, but he also saw me fall asleep in church. He also saw me get angry at his person in front of me because they were driving like idiots and were in my way. And he also saw me get angry at a couple of other people too along the way. It's easy for me to, and I always excuse it, I'm just a New Yorker, so like, you know, that's, we talk to other people in the car in front of us, you know, like, and stuff. So, but anyway, We're being watched. You have a JoJo in your life. You might never know who's watching you and who's listening to you. But you have a responsibility to lead them in the way that they should go. You have a responsibility to reach out, to love them and to serve them and to touch their lives, because that's what God has called us to do. You know, we need to be willing to do whatever He asks us to do. When that funeral was over yesterday and there was a luncheon afterwards, and I wasn't hungry. I didn't want to go. I felt sick to my stomach, and somebody said to me, "Are you going to the luncheon?" And I'm like, "Oh man, I definitely don't want to go there." But there'd be people there I don't know and stuff. So, but I felt like God was telling me to go. So I went to the luncheon, and most of the people that I knew did not go to the luncheon. Okay, there was about 10 people that I knew still there. And they all sat at one table, and every seat was taken. So I had to sit in the corner, which I'm really good at sitting in the corner. I'm not good at meeting new people. If you think I am, I faked you out. But it's the Spirit that's working in me, trying to help me to be more what He wants me to be. And it's not about me. But Joseph and Lindsay were there. And they eventually got me out of the corner and took me over to their table and introduced me to some people. And I had a really, really good time. I was really blessed. And that's the way it is with doing God's will. You may not want to do it. God's telling you to do something. And if you don't want to do it, that's probably what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? And once you do it, then you're going to be blessed because you followed and did what God wanted you to do instead of worshiping that God of I and doing what I want to do. The Lord has something for each and every one of us. He wants what's best for you. He wants you to be the best. And He wants to make something out of your life. You know, I want to take you to the first miracle that Jesus ever did. That first miracle was in John chapter 2, where He went to the wedding. Most of you know the story, especially you alcoholics, because you love to see that Jesus did something with wine. But He wasn't just, it says don't be drunk with wine, so it can't conflict, okay? You guys that want to use this for an excuse, it can't conflict. But He was talking about something totally different. First of all, His mother said to Him, do whatever He says to do. You know, that was great advice 2,000 years ago, and it's still good advice today. Do whatever He says to do. So He says, I want you to take and fill those 6 water pots with 20 to 30 gallons of water. These were pots for purification. They were the washing water and stuff, you know. And they filled them up to the very brim so that you couldn't put nothing else in. And then He says to the servants, I want you to go and take this to the master of the feast. Now, it was a good thing those guys were servants, because I wouldn't have wanted to take it to the master of the feast. This is just wash water. I'm going to be in big trouble when He takes a drink of that stuff. But they did what He said to do. And they took it to the master of the feast, and the master, and they gave it to Him. And it was the best wine that He's had in a long time. God loves to take nothing and make something out of it. Here He took plain old wash water and made the best wine of the day. That's exactly what He wants to do with us. You know, I get amazed at who He's willing to work with and work through. It's usually the least likely because then he gets the credit for what happens. I can't take the credit. I was a juvenile delinquent on the streets of New York when he found me, and I was not looking for him. But he found me, and he's used me, and he's making something out of it, and I still screw up. You ask my grandson back there. He's all the time like, "Grandpa, why are you so impatient with that person in front of you?" I use the same old excuse. That's because I'm a New Yorker, you know, and we got to talk to the people in the car in front of us. We don't talk to the people in the car with us. We talk to the people in the car in front of us, even though they can't hear us. But God wants to take your life and make something beautiful out of it. Will you allow him to take and use you for his honor and glory? This is the upside down kingdom. We strive to be the boss, the big guy. But he says, no, you be a servant. You're willing to take the low position. You got to be willing to serve me. And how do we serve him? By serving others. Are you willing to let God work in and through you? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you allow us to be a part in what you're doing. You don't need us. You're the God of the universe. You don't need us, but you allow us that privilege of being a part of what you're doing. Thank you so much for the opportunity to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.